Good morning, everybody. This is Pastor Dwayne. Welcome to Encounter Life Church. I'm so excited that you could join us today on our online worship experience. Today's a special day. It's communion. We're celebrating the service of communion today as we honor and we celebrate what Christ has done for us on Calvary. If you're new here at Encounter Life, if this is your first time joining us online or in person or in any fashion, welcome. And we're so glad that you're here. Could you do me a favor? Just text the word new. Just text NEW to 301-804-2520. 301-804-2520. And the message type text new, NEW, so we can connect with you. If this is not your first time here, welcome back. We're glad that you're back with us this morning. We pray that your heart has been encouraged by the messages. Now, listen, we are in the middle of our series right now. We call I Love Jesus But Hate dot dot dot. And I don't know about anybody out there. Yeah, I'm a PK. I'm a preacher's kid, so I grew up in church. But, you know, there are a lot of folks who grew up in church. Y'all of you might be listening to me now who were made to go to church. I don't know, were you made to go to church when you were a kid? Like, it's like, oh, man, I thought, well, as soon as I get old enough, if I got my Sundays, I'm going to do what I want to do. And a lot of times, you know, I was talking to someone the other day. They were made to go to church, and nobody really explained to them the reason why. They never really got it. And so they're not opposed to Christ. They're not opposed to the message of the gospel. But the whole formal church thing kind of turned them off. And to be honest, there are a lot of us who are watching out here today like that. You know, as I looked the other day, I was looking at a George Barna survey that said 10% of the actual population are people who say, yeah, I believe in God. I'm a follower of Christ, but I just don't go to church. And so there are people like that out there. You might be one of those. And there are a number of reasons. You know, we've dealt with them, with a couple of them over the past couple of weeks. And today we're going to look at some others. But, you know, I don't know. You might be one person who said, man, stop going to church because people in church seem judgmental. Some people seem hypocritical. We talked about that in week one. Last week, we talked about some people say, I'm not involved in church because I just got issues with the church's lack of stance on political issues or their stance on political and social issues. I have an issue with that. And we talked about last week how we feel the church should approach those. Today, we're going to be dealing with another area and something, just kind of give a view of how we should view the church and why the church is so important. But before we do that, can we pray? Dear God, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day and I thank you for the opportunity to bring your word today. I thank you for the church that you've ordained, the church, Lord God, that you have called out. That's what we are called out to represent you in the world. And I pray now today for me and all of those who are watching that we'll see the importance and the significance of this unique body. And then, Lord, forgive us for when we've gotten it twisted. Forgive us for when we have been judgmental or hypocritical and we've lost focus. Help us to focus and keep the main thing the main thing. We praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. I pray for someone watching today. Lord, I pray that you'll encourage them. Somebody's going through something in the middle of this pandemic. Lord, I pray that you'll encourage your heart today in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's very interesting right now that a lot of churches, the doors of the buildings are closed. Some are opening back up slowly. But right now, because of the global pandemic and what's going on with COVID, man, churches everywhere are doing things way different. And so the conventional way church is done has had to change. And I just find it interesting. And I think God has a wonderful sense of humor. But I really believe that over the years, a lot of times churches, we can get off focus. And we can become judgmental, hypocritical. We can kind of lose focus on what we're supposed to be about. And that's why last week we talked about a way we should view everything, that we have to keep our mind on what the purpose is. And purpose is, Jesus said, what God wants. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul told Timothy the whole goal is he wants everyone to come to know him. He wants everyone to be saved. And so it's not about what you're wearing. It's not about all of these other things. We said 2 weeks ago that love has to be the overarching principle. And when you have that love comes from a pure heart. And when you got a pure heart, you can't be judgmental and hypocritical. When you have a pure heart, you at least to a clear conscience, which means I'm going to be transparent. I'm going to show you, look, I'm an open book, man, before you. I don't have everything perfect, but I'm striving for perfection. And that will lead to a sincere, a true faith, not a flimsy, counterfeit faith, but a sincere faith in a true God who loves you unconditionally. And we talked about that week one. Week two, we talked about the importance of how we should look at social and political issues, and that God is really calling us to be prayerful. He's calling us to be prayerful. He's calling us to be peaceful and to be purposeful. So that's what we talked about last week. But today, you know, as I talked to people, and as I looked at the George Barna survey that I've referenced before, how 10% of the population say, I'm not opposed to Christ, but you know, matter of fact, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I just don't feel need for church anymore. You know, there are some people in the population say they have an issue with church because they just have doubts about the authenticity of the leadership. You know, they question about the leadership of the church, and they question whether do I even need to go to a formal church building to have a spiritual relationship. They, you know, I've heard people say my relationship with me and God is personal. I don't need to go to a church building or church. And they question. They have doubts about, you know, is the person who's the pastor or the leaders in the church, are they authentic? How, are they doing what they should be doing? So I feel safer just staying at home and doing my own thing. You know, that, and that can be a genuine concern. And I believe it was a concern because as we look in 1 Timothy, that's where our passage is. 1 Timothy, we've been looking at right now. But we're in chapter 3 today. And Paul, as he's writing to this young pastor, Timothy, at this church in the city of Ephesus, he, in chapter 3, I find it interesting that he addresses the leaders in the church. You know who those people are? People like me. Pastors, leaders, deacons, those folks who are serving in church leadership, he addresses us because he says, you know, that's important. And if you look in the passage, he goes in the first part, our main verse is going to be three verses. We're going to focus today on verses 14, 15, and 16. But I'm going to start. I'm going to read the whole passage, and bear with me as I start at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, all the way down. It says, this is a trustworthy saying. If someone aspires to be a church leader, he desires an honorable position. So a church leader must be a man whose life is above reproach. He must be faithful to his wife. He must exercise self-control, live wisely, and have a good reputation. He must enjoy having guests in his home, and he must be able to teach. He must not be a heavy drinker or be violent. He must be gentle, not quarrelsome, and not love money. He must manage his own family well, having children who respect and obey him. For if a man cannot manage his own household, how can he take care of God's church? A church leader must not be a new believer because he might become proud and the devil would cause him to fall. Also, people outside the church must speak well of him so that he will not be disgraced and fall into the devil's trap. In the same way, deacons must be well respected and have integrity. They must not be heavy drinkers or dishonest with money. They must be committed to the mystery of the faith now revealed, and must live with a clear conscience. Before they are appointed as deacons, they let them be closely examined. If they pass the test, then let them serve as deacons. In the same way, their wives must be respected and must not slander others. They must exercise self-control and be faithful in everything they do. A deacon must be faithful to his wife, and he must manage his children and household well. Those who do well as deacons will be rewarded with respect from others and will have increased confidence in their faith in Christ Jesus. Here's our main scripture that I want to focus on today. 1 Timothy 3:14 through 16 says, I am writing these things to you now, even though I hope to be with you soon, so that if I'm delayed, you'll know how people must conduct themselves in the household of God. This is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and foundation of the truth. Without question, this is the great mystery of our faith. Christ was revealed in a human body, vindicated by the Spirit. He was seen by angels and announced to the nations. He was believed in throughout the world and taken to heaven in glory. Man, may God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. There's so much in that passage. You know, the first 13 verses, he's addressing leaders. In the church, he's addressing leaders, how we ought to conduct ourselves, how we ought to be above reproach, men who have self-control, who have control of our families, and it's very important. And in fact, that's important. This is specifically for leaders in the church. They call an overseer, somebody who's given a charge. As a pastor, God has given me the charge to oversee the flock. And he's telling Timothy, man, before you put anybody in a leadership position, a deacon is somebody who's serving, who's who's there that God has ordained to be, work alongside the overseer or the pastor to make sure that the needs of the entire assembly, the entire body are being met. Those are deacons. So these have to be people who have lives that are in order. That's so important. And as I was thinking about this topic, you know, people having issues with church because, you know, sometimes the leadership, I think the leaders are shaky. How can I follow these people? And as we see it now and throughout the news, you always see it. And that's one of the things as a pastor, God is high, to whom much is given, much is required. And he holds us to a higher standard. And am I going to tell you that I'm perfect? By far, I am not. I'm a man with a feet of clay and I made some major mistakes. And we all do. And it's so important that as you are, if you're watching me and you're not a pastor, you're not a leader, look, your relationship with God, my relationship with God cannot be, God is not going to be asking you or asking me, what did my pastor do? He's going to be asking, what did I do? So number one, I want to encourage is that we don't use leaders and we don't use other people as an excuse for me not doing what I'm supposed to do. But the fact of the matter is that we can become a stumbling block. So I think Paul was writing this because he knew, recognized it was very important. And for this reason, I gave the title of our message today is Talk About It and Be About It. Talk about it and be about it. Because as a pastor, God has given me the charge. Every week I come to proclaim the word of God and declare the word of God. But God is telling you, Dwayne, you can't just talk about it, but you got to be about it. But you know, that call is not just for me, but it's for all of us. For all of us who name the name of Christ, we can't just talk about it. We got to be about it. And church, can I be honest? I'm talking to those who are part of the body of Christ, those who say I've come to follow Christ as my Lord and Savior. To be honest, y'all, sometimes we got a good talk, but our walk is shaky. And am I telling you going to be perfect? No, it's just about being transparent. See, the key is that if I'm having issues, somebody ought to know about it. But we got to talk about it and we got to be about it. And it's just three things that I want to talk about today that are so important, why the church is so important. And if you're watching today and you've been saying the only reason why I'm not in church is because sometimes the leaders in church, they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, or the pastor's not doing what he's supposed to be doing, or the deacon's not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're not living right, or they're not doing this, or somebody else that you know, because in fact, all of us, even though you may not be a pastor or deacon, all of us in some capacity, God has called you to be a leader. He's called us to come out from among them and be separate. You're called to be a leader of something, even in your own household. And in that way, we are all people with feet of clay, and you got to recognize somebody's watching you. So there's three things that I want you to recognize about the church, why this is important, why the church is so important, and why we have to talk about it and be about it, church. I'm going to give you these three things, and then I'm going to be out of your way. Three reasons why it's important for us as the church, me as a leader, as a pastor, to not just talk about it, but be about it. Number one is because our conduct can be a barrier to belief. I just said it earlier. There are sometimes, I don't ever want to be the reason why I give anybody an excuse why they should not follow Jesus Christ. But do you know sometimes when people look at me, if my life is inconsistent and I say that I got the truth, sometimes that can be a barrier to belief for somebody. See, in Philippians chapter 1, Paul says of this, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then, whether I come to and see you again or only hear about you, I know that you're standing together with one spirit, one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. You know, it's so important, church. It's so important if you're a leader in your church. It's beautiful because there might be some other pastor, some other leader watching me today, because the beautiful thing about online, as a pastor, I could watch other churches. But I want to remind myself, I want to remind all of us, if you're a Christian follower of Christ, whether you're a leader or in the church, or whether you're just a lay person is there, recognize that your conduct can be a barrier to somebody else's belief. And the Paul's right said, your conduct, you got to live as a citizen of heaven, conducting ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Man, isn't that awesome? You know, we can tie this into what we talked about last week. You know, and it really grieved my spirit. We were in our small group this week and we were talking about what's going on in our political climate and our social climate. And do you know, church, as a body, our conduct has been a barrier to the belief right now, to the belief of those who are not in the body of Christ. As we're watching what's going on in our world today, do you know I see Christians, some on one side and some on the other, when we're talking about politics. We're supposed to be fighting for the gospel, but we're fighting each other in the church over political issues. That ought not to be. Because number one, our passage says is, I'm not a citizen of the United States of America. I'm not a citizen of just Prince George's County. He says, above all, live as citizens of heaven. See, my citizenship, my allegiance to heaven, it supersedes my allegiance to my country. Come on now. Come on now. We got to remember that. And if we said, no matter what side I'm on, no matter what side of political leaning or social leaning, political leaning I have, he says, above all, guess what? You got to fight together with one purpose, fighting for what? Not for the Republican Party, not for the Democratic Party, but fighting for the faith. See, we got to recognize, church, when we're bickering back and forth, our conduct becomes a barrier to belief. Not only that, if we look in our passage earlier right here, if I'm supposed to be a pastor, but I'm not faithful to my wife, you know what? My conduct is hindering somebody, is becoming a barrier to somebody's belief. If I'm supposed to tell people how they should have their families and my family is not like it's supposed to be, guess what? My conduct can be a barrier to belief. I got to make sure that I'm not just talking about it, but being about it. When it comes to family, look, if you're watching me, you might say, look, pastor, I've been trying to teach my children, but yes, they got their own decisions to make. I'm not saying everybody has to choose Christ for themselves, but you got to be consistent. You got to be consistent. I got to practice what I say, what I'm preaching. You know, it's one of the things that always used to bless me growing up. My father was my pastor. And one of the things that what used to honor me to be able to stand behind this man of God preaching the word of God is to know that whatever he was preaching on a Sunday morning, I saw him living out Monday through Sunday in my house. I remember waking up in the morning and watching him on his knees. My parents, whatever they taught, they tried to live it out. And to see a man of God proclaim the truth from the pulpit, but no, I'm trying to live it out every day. And was my dad perfect? No, by no means. He was not perfect. But I knew he was striving for perfection. Church, you got to recognize, if you're watching me today and you're a Christian and you say, my relationship with God is personal, we got to make sure that we're living in a way and a conduct that is not an offense to the gospel. Like he said right here, that we're living in a way that is worthy of the good news. That people, when they see my life, they see the good news. Why is it important that I talk it and walk it? Number one is because my conduct can be a barrier to somebody else's belief. Man, I don't ever want it to be said of me that Dwayne, the way you live was a barrier to your son coming to true faith in me. I don't want it ever be said of me that Dwayne, the way you conducted yourself in the workplace was a barrier for one of your coworkers really believing this gospel. Ask yourself today, the way that I conduct my life, when people see it, will they see Christ? Or will it turn them off from him? That's number one. That's why the church is so important. Church, that's why we got to take this thing seriously. Because our call is to display the truth. Our conduct can be a barrier to belief, but our call is to display the truth. Do you know that God has established the church to be the embodiment of truth? We are called to show the embodiment of truth. Look at our passage right here. Verse 14, 1 Timothy 3:14. I'm writing these things to you now, even though I hope to be with you soon. Verse 15. So that if I'm delayed, you will know how people must conduct themselves. We talked about conduct in the household of God. This is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and foundation of truth. Household of God. He calls the church a household. We are be a family. And he said the church is assembly. The word church there means an assembly. That shows it's a necessary assembly. God has established the church. You might have issues with church, but it's still something God has established. You need to be a part of the church, the assembly, those who have been called out. And what have we been called out to do? He's established the church to be the embodiment of truth. He says it's the pillar and foundation of truth. What does it mean? We're supposed to display truth to the world. Well, what is truth? What do you mean, Pastor? When you're supposed to be the embodiment of truth, what do I mean? Well, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, what did Jesus say? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So what am I saying? I am supposed to be the embodiment of truth. I'm supposed to show the world what Christ looks like. That's what he's calling us to do. He says right here in the passage that we are the church of the what? Living God. First of all, we serve a God who is alive, and we are to be, the church is the pillar and foundation. Now, the word pillar there that Paul used, he used it strategically and for a reason, because the church that Timothy was pastoring was in a city called Ephesus. And Ephesus was known for its idol worship, and there were all kind of temples throughout Ephesus. And many of these temples had great grand pillars. And what a pillar does, a pillar is not just only to hold up. When you think of a pillar to hold up something, because that's what we are supposed to do. We're supposed to, the church is to be a pillar. We're supposed to hold up the word of life. But a pillar also draws your attention to something. It's able to display something. When you see pillars, it's a vision of grandeur that draws your attention to something. And as the church, we're to be the pillars of truth. We are to display and hold up the truth. The Bible in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, 16 says, live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. What is the church? Why are we important? Number one, because your conduct can be a barrier to somebody else's belief. You got to get that. But number two, you got to recognize, because your call is to display the truth of God. And that truth is not just information. I love this song. There's a song, and I can't remember who used to sing it, but it said, if they're looking at me, God, I pray they see you. I'm supposed to be the embodiment of truth. I may be the only Jesus anybody ever sees, the only Bible. God tells me I'm ought to be a living epistle that is seen and read of all men. God wants your life to be, we ought to be the embodiment of truth. The church is important. God established the church to show the world what Christ was like. And can I ask us, church, are we showing the world what Christ was like? And when we don't show the world what Christ was like, you know what? When we get our own agendas mixed up, and we show the world that it's an inappropriate or an improper view or inconsistent view of who Christ is, they get a wrong view of him. We get a misrepresentation of our Savior. It's not just for when we have moral failure or when we fall, but when we make things more important than they ought to be. When we elevate things that should not be elevated. When we lose focus, that God says the key is, I want to see souls saved. It ain't about your political agenda. It ain't about your social agenda. It ain't about your preferences. It's about my glory. Well, God has called the church. God has given a call, and the call on the church is to display the truth. We gotta walk it and talk it. Don't just talk about it, but be about it. Why? Because you know what? Your conduct can be a barrier to somebody's belief. Don't just talk about it, but be about it. Why? Because your calling is to display his truth. It's not about a building. You know, it's not about a building. He said we're to display his truth, we're to display it, but also he says, and the foundation. So Christ is our foundation, but we're supposed to hold firmly to the truth. We're supposed to be able to hold up the truth and make sure that, guess what, that it doesn't waver. Church, we done got grabbed onto some things that are not truth and added it to the mix. We need to get back to the basics. get back to being about what Christ, our Savior, was about. That's our third thing. I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to get out of your way. Number one, don't just talk about it, but be about it, because your conduct can get in the way of somebody's belief. Don't just talk about it, but be about it, because your call is to display the truth. We're supposed to be the embodiment of truth. When they see us, they ought to see Christ. Don't just talk about it, but be about it. Why? Because your commission was to advance God's mission. Because your commission is to advance God's mission. What is his mission? I love it. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 through 20. Last scripture I want to read to you. It says, "And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, 'Come back to God.'" Why is the church important? Because God, listen, we have a commission to advance God's mission. What is his mission? He's making his appeal through us to bring people back to God. That's why we're here, y'all. That's why the church is so necessary. That's why you say, look, maybe I can grow on my own. But God said, I've called out this family, this assembly. We ought to be plugged into a family and an assembly. We ought to be plugged into a family and assembly of God that is advancing the mission of God. That is this proclaiming the truth of God, displaying the truth of God, and living in such a way that we're causing people to believe instead of bringing about unbelief. That's what God's called us to do. And today the question is, as a pastor, as a leader, as just a layperson, person who's just you're a follower of Christ, you may not have a particular title or position in church. That's why I love that what's going on with COVID-19 right now. I hate that, you know, I'm not loving loss of life and people getting sick. But what I do love is that God is trying to draw his church and get them focused. Because, you know, your office in the church doesn't matter that much. You know, praise God for our ushers and all that, all those things that we put in place. And, you know, the all the other positions we put in place. But what he's doing is he's trimmed the fat down. He said, look, I'm trimming it down to the basics. I want you to be about my mission. And I've called all of you to display my truth. Show everybody what Christ looks like. And church, if we're not doing that, you know what? We got a problem. Because if his church is not being built, it ain't on him. Because God said, Jesus said, I will build my church. And he said, if he be lifted up, that's what a pillar does. A pillar holds something up. If he be lifted up, he'll draw all men to himself. So if men aren't being drawn to him, maybe we're not doing the lifting. God does the drawing. We got to do the lifting. We got to be the pillars. And as pillars, we got to remember that our conduct can get in the way of somebody's belief. We never allow your conduct to be a hindrance to somebody's belief. Never lose sight of your call to be the embodiment of truth. And never let go of your commission to advance his mission. What is his mission? To reconcile lost men to God through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, I got to confess, sometimes I lose sight of that. Sometimes, you know, we get involved in church for our own personal agendas. Some people the church has been used over the years for a number of different things. But I believe God wants us to get back to be the ones who dictate how things are instead of us reflecting what's going on in the culture. Kind of reminds me of a quote from Dr. Martin Luther King. Dr. Martin Luther King, in his letter from Birmingham jail, he said this: "There was a time when the church was very powerful. It was during that period that early Christians rejoiced when they were deemed worthy to suffer for what they believed. In those days, the church was not merely a thermometer that recorded the ideas and principles of popular opinion. It was the thermostat that transformed the mores of society." It's time for us as the church to rise up to be the thermostat, not just be the thermometer, to want to dictate, to be the ones that transform what's going on in our society, not the ones that conform to it. That's what he tells us. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And God wants us, as you, to be a transformer, to be a world changer. The church is important, but church, we can't just talk about it. We got to be about it. I pray you're ready to be about it today. Will you pray with me? Dear God, Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for this opportunity to share your word. I thank you for your truth. And I thank you, Lord, that you showed us truth in Jesus Christ. That he said, as your son said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And God, you have given us a tremendous call to represent you, to display that truth to the world. And I say, as a leader and as a pastor, God, forgive me for whenever my conduct has been a hindrance to someone else's belief. Whenever my conduct has gotten in the way, when I've been an inappropriate representation of the truth and been a stumbling block, forgive us for when we've done that. And today, God, we want to come to recommit ourselves to you, to recommit ourselves to walking in the truth of your word, to standing on the truth of your word. And to, Lord God, to holding you up, to be the pillars that you've called us to be, to display your glory to the world so that Lord God, as we hold you up, as we hold out the word of life, Lord, you draw men to you. Help us to be about your mission of reconciling lost man to you. In Jesus' name. Listen, if you've been watching me today and you said, look, Pastor Dwayne, I've been turned off by church people. I don't want you to focus on the people. Let's focus on the God who the people are supposed to represent. And this God, this Savior that we are supposed to represent, he loves you and has a plan for your life. Yes, I'm a man with feet of clay, and sometimes people are going to fail you. We're going to disappoint you, but I know one who never will. He'll never fail you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. And the God, this God that I serve said he wants a personal relationship with you. He made you to love you. He wants an intimate, close relationship with you. But there's something that gets in the way of your relationship with God and my relationship with God, and it's called sin. It's a simple three-letter word. Simply means to fall short, to miss the mark, fall short of God's standard. And the Bible tells us that all have sinned. In the book of Romans, he said all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And he also tells us in Romans chapter 6, that the wages of sin, the payment for our sin, is eternal separation, death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. See, God made a way for your sins and my sins to be forgiven. And it had to happen this way because he established early that without blood being shed, there could be no forgiveness of sins. The only way to pay for my sin, the only way to get me right with God, is there had to be a sacrifice for my sins. And none of us could pay it because none of us are perfect. So God said, I love them enough. I love you enough that what I will do, I will provide the sacrifice. So God became flesh. Jesus came to earth, Emmanuel, God, the God-man, God with us. He came to earth so that he could live like you live. He could go through everything like you go through, never sin, not one time, so he can qualify to be the sacrifice for every human being, everyone where the blood runs through their veins. And he allowed human beings to put him on the cross. He died on a cross. He shed his blood. He was buried. But guess what? The grave couldn't hold him because he was the God-man. He rose from the grave to claim victory over death, to justify you, meaning to make you right with God. God says simply this, all you got to do, if you want eternal life, if you want to have the assurance of a relationship with God, an assurance to know that you are called out, part of his family, his household, like we talked in this passage, and to know he's given you a home eternal in heaven, but show you how to live abundant and power to live abundant life right here on earth. First, you got to admit to God that you are not perfect. Believe that God sent the solution in Jesus Christ to die on the cross and that he was buried and that he rose again. And see, choose him to come into your life, forgive you of your sins, and make you who he wants you to be. If you do that, he says, I'll give you eternal life and you'll never perish. If you'd like to make that decision today, I'm going to just say, pray a simple prayer. You can pray this after me if you want to do that. Just say, dear God, thank you for loving me. I admit today that I have sinned against you. And I believe you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me, and that he was buried and he rose again just for me. Today I make the choice to invite you into my heart and my life. Forgive me of all my sins and make me who you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you made that decision, congratulations. If you meant that, we want to know about that. We want to help you. What that means is, like in our passage, he said, the church is now his household, his building. We are his family. You become a part of his household. And we want to show you how we are supposed to conduct ourselves in his household. So I want to give you some tools to help you grow in a new relationship with God. So if you could text the word next, N-E-X-T, to 301-804-2520. That's next to 301-804-2520. We're going to give you some tools to help you grow. Praise God. Listen, we're so excited. I'm so thankful. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And we're going to celebrate that gift today. We just finished just giving you the opportunity to come to Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. But what we want to do, God has called us to remember what he's done for us as often as we can. As often as we can, we want to bring to remembrance what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. So today, we're going to celebrate that by our service of communion. And if you're at home and you're watching at home, you can join us on communion. If you got a piece of bread or some grape juice, I'm going to ask you can just take it out. At this time, we're just going to honor God and just remember what he's done for us in sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. So, if you will, let me just pray for us as we go to our time of communion. Dear God, Heavenly Father, as we come to this time, we thank you for dying for us. We thank you for loving us. And we just come to remember it. Help us never take it for granted. In Jesus' name, amen. Whatever you have, if it's a piece of bread, grape juice, or whatever, I know this is unusual times, but we want to honor God by communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm going to read verse 23, says, "For I see from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" If you have your bread at home, you can partake of it now. Amen. Verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 11 goes on to say, "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" You can take of the cup. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your unspeakable gift. Listen, thank you for joining us today in Encounter Life Church. If you were watching, God convicted you, you said, "Listen, Pastor Dwayne, that word convicted me. I want to recommit my life to you." Look, we want to know about that. If you say, "God, I know I got to be, my conduct got to be better. I don't want to be a stumbling block to anybody else's belief." Go to our website, www.encounterchurch.net/next. Go there and say, "Pastor, I want to recommit my life to Christ today." Listen, we want to encourage you to walk closer with him. If you want to find out more about what's going on, how you can be involved in a life group, or how you can find out about our membership classes, anything, go to that link, www.encounterchurch.net/next. Fill out that contact form and we'll contact you.